Okay, move out.
You're listening to the Valor Podcast with Nick Lehman, a show highlighting the people who defend the United States of America and those who support them.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello and welcome to the Valor Podcast. There are a few sporting events that I would just, more than anything, pack the bags, travel, and go see, and that's the Army-Navy game. It's one of those historic, traditional games that has more meaning to it than anything, than whether it was a win or loss. But we'll get more to that later. First, I would like to thank our show sponsors. It's the Hershey Miyamura Korean War Veteran Group. They are a great bunch of group of guys in their 80s and 90s plus, and they just get around and they talk about what they did in Korea and what their sacrifice and service was, and they catch up on old times. So if you're looking to get dad, grandpa, or great-grandpa out of the house and they served in the Korean War, get them involved in a local chapter of the Korean War Veteran Association. I promise they will get out of the house and be rejuvenated and have fun. So back to my dream. The sporting event, the Army-Navy game, is between the United States Military Academy and the United States Naval Academy. The tradition of the game started in 1890. The teams have met over a handful of 100 times plus. We are joined by Bryson Carl, who played for the Army Black Knights football team from 2006 to 2010. He then went on to serve in the United States military with the rank of captain in the U.S. Army as a logistics officer. So without further ado, number 45 in your Black Knights program, but number one to the Valor Podcast, we introduce Bryson Carl. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, how are you doing? It's great to be here today. Thank you so much.
So what take me through this game. There's so much more meaning than just, you know, the wins and losses, like I was saying. There's bragging rights to this.
Absolutely. I think it's important to remember that the Army-Navy game, like you just said, it's about so much more than just a regular season football game. I think if you pulled any college athlete, especially in football across the country, every game is important, right? Every game is important to win. You expect to win. You work hard. You prepare. And you go into that game like you're going to win it. But what's different about the Army-Navy game is you know that you're playing for something so big and something so much larger than yourself that potentially means a lot more to some other people in the country and in the world than you might really realize. And so just to kind of like set that basis is begin to think of what is the Army-Navy game about? And it's not just a normal football game. It is about two military organizations and two football teams that represent opposing branches of the military. And while when we go to war, we're one team, one fight to take the old motto of the military. But really at that point in time, it's not about one team, one fight. We are ultimate rivals, and we are looking to crush one another on a football field. Regardless of whether we will be serving with one another or not when that game is over, the ultimate goal is to whoop the living snot out of each other. But we also understand that when we're playing, while it means a ton to us as players, obviously it means a lot to the college football program at West Point, and it means a lot to the Corps of Cadets. But we absolutely, I think, as players understood that when we're playing, we have service members, men and women around the world, many deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan at the time, and other areas of interest around the world, that they're watching that game and they are rooting for their respective branch in which they serve in the military to win. And really it's bragging rights for the remainder of the year, whether it's football bragging rights or my branch is better than your branch. That's what it comes down to. It's like we're playing for everyone from the school to the generals at the top levels from each different post in the military. And so that makes it kind of unique and different. It's so many people are depending on the outcome of the game to really see how they're going to spend the next year bragging about who's the best team in the country or who's the better post or who's the better branch to be a part of, whether it's Army or Navy, et cetera. So there's so many different things that go into it.
What is a typical game day like? I mean, you hinted at that with the excitement of going into the, you know, the bragging rights, and it's, you know, a worldwide game. I mean, you got everybody from a foxhole knowing what the score is to somebody that's stateside. So what's the sights and sounds of a game like that?
Well, you know, the one thing, so if I can give what I would say, a description that kind of makes you feel what you're going into. It's like you ever walked into something that's so magnificent and awe-inspiring, you're not quite sure what to say, but you feel your heart start to beat a little quicker. Your mind is kind of opened up to like, wow, this is incredible. Where am I at? Like, am I really here? Is this real? And it's that kind of like that just out of body experience. That's the best way I can describe the first time that you walk onto the field as either an Army or Navy player for one of these games. I mean, again, just, you know, a personal example, Lincoln Financial Field, and we're playing in Philly, and you walk out into a professional football stadium, and you think back from when you're a little boy, and you wanted to play, you know, Pop Warner League football, and then you wanted to make your high school football team, and then when you got to high school, you said, man, it would be incredible if I played Division I college football. And then you actually make it to Division I college football, and you realize that you've suddenly entered this realm of one of the greatest rivalries in American football history. And you're walking out onto this field of 100,000 people in the stands cheering and screaming and roaring. And it's awe-inspiring. You're just standing there like, am I a part of this? To me, it's a football game. I'm going there to win a football game. But when you take everything that's going on around you, it's overwhelming, and it's very humbling to know that you get to be a part of something that's so great. And again, most college football teams don't have the opportunity to play in front of crowds of that size in a professional football stadium. And to have that intense rivalry and the buildup to the games that Army-Navy brings. And so to be a part of that is something incredible, but also leaves you humbled, it leaves you awe-inspired, and it leaves you thankful that you have the opportunity to be a part of something so great.
You touched on the student-athlete aspect of that, and you know, you went through the Pop Warner and the middle school, high school. At what point did you say, you know what, I want to go to West Point. I want to be a cadet. I want to play for the Black Knights. How did that all kind of transpire?
Absolutely. It was probably moderately unconventional. While my ultimate goal out of high school and goal for myself was to always play college football, you know, I didn't particularly set my sights on the United States Military Academy. And to be completely transparent and honest, I'm not sure at the ripe age of 16, 17 that I even knew what the United States Military Academy was. but I knew I wanted to play football because that's what I'd been doing my entire life. And I did know that I wanted to do something in the future that was bigger and better than myself. I wanted to do something that meant something to my life and to others, but I didn't know what that was. So I think that a lot of athletes at West Point probably have a similar burning desire in them. But not everyone necessarily just raises their hand at 17 and says, I'm 100% going into the military, and I know what that means, and I want to go to West Point, I want to go to Service Academy. And while there are probably many young adults that do make that decision, there's probably many that do not. And I was not of the group that necessarily said ahead of time that I knew that I wanted to do a career in the military. I just knew I wanted to play football. And when the coaches at the time, it was Coach Bobby Ross, gave me a phone call. I was in Albuquerque. I was in my senior year of high school, and Coach Bobby Ross gives me a call and says, Brassett, I saw your football tape, and I'm just wondering if you'd be interested in coming to West Point. And I remember thinking on the phone, like, West Point, what is West Point? And of course, you know, being a young man interested in college football, I was like, of course I'd be interested in you know, and maybe visiting the school and seeing what you have to offer. And so they sent me out to West Point on one of my official visits. And it was on that official visit that I absolutely walked away knowing that the decision I was about to make was the right decision for my future and what I wanted to do. And what it really came down to was, not only did I have the opportunity to play Division I college football, but I had the opportunity to go to one of the highest ranked institutions in America, if not the world, to get a world-class education, and then to ultimately lead men and women and to be in charge of soldiers, whether that be in harm's way or not. And that was the moment where I realized this is something so much beyond just who I am today as a young high schooler. And I was fortunate to have a mother and father that taught me well and said that the decisions you make today at 18 years old are the same decisions that will affect you when you're 38 years old and 48 years old. And so I made the harder choice to go to an institution, into an academy, into a school to play football that I knew was going to be more rigorous. I knew that I was going to have to pay a price for ultimately in the end to serve my country, and then ultimately potentially pay the ultimate sacrifice, as several of my friends and former athletes have done and given their life for this country. And that's a decision that you have to internalize at 18 years old. But I think that those are the kind of players that you have on that Army football team. And those are guys that are willing to make the hard decisions no matter what, because they know what the future holds. And so I guess that, you know, me explaining that is like, it was that whole encompassing thought process that really brought me to making the decision to play football at West Point. It wasn't just about getting to be a fullback and to smash heads on the football field. That's what I love to do. But I am so thankful I have the opportunity to serve my country and go to an academy that just stands for something so much more than just football. And so that's why I decided to go there.
Yeah, I was reading a stat. I mean, you hit it on the head that, you know, the ultimate sacrifice and something greater than just the football game. I mean, since 9/11, 95 graduates of the military academies from West Point and 16 from the Naval Academy have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan or the war on terror. I mean, what is that? I know it's rough to lose friends in the military, especially with giving their lives to our country, but you know, you play with these guys, you practice and you're there. That has to be a special time, you know, in the huddle, so to speak.
You know, it's almost a little hard to talk about, but you've just said it. That is the ultimate sacrifice. And that's what you absolutely understand, that the guys you're playing with, those are your brothers, and that there's a very real possibility that you'll be on the battlefield with that brother one of these days. And you also know that there's a very real possibility, whether you want to think about it or not, that you could potentially lose your life in one of the conflicts that you've risen your hand to serve in. And that reality hit home, even for me personally, with several of my teammates and close friends. And, you know, the one name that quickly comes to mind would be Chase Prasnicki, backup quarterback for our football team while I was there. And Chase lost his life in war and was someone that you look back as a player and you're like, God, I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him. I bled with this man on the football field. There was days when we vomited together after our coach would make us run so many darn wind sprints that we couldn't handle it anymore. And the pain and the anguish you go through together, and the fun times, you know, when you had the weekend off that you could get away from school and just let your hair down a little bit and football was over for the weekend and you could just take a breath. And that's what we did with Chase. And then to one day find out that the man that you played football with, that you loved, that was your Army football brother, lost his life doing what we signed up to do, it brings that reality so much closer to home. You know, I think if you pulled most college football teams across the country and ask, what's the reality of death on this team? They would look at you with wide eyes, like, what does that even mean? But I think when you speak to a West Point football player and you ask, what's the reality of death? They all go, it's real. And we understand it because the people that have come before us and the people that will come after us, many of them are likely to lose their lives. And that's just something that is, again, it brings you back to understanding the mindset of an Army football player that truly understands that they are going to one day fight for something so much bigger than themselves. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about it. They're willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice because they love this country. And to play with people like that, to be a part of that kind of team and that kind of brotherhood, it's humbling. And it makes you thankful that there's people in this world that are willing to serve in that manner.
That's powerful. You know, you hear and you actually connect. Thanks for sharing about Chase. That actually puts a name and a face to it. The football is kind of a hard sport to follow in terms of, you know, saying, oh, that's so-and-so because they have a helmet and you just have a back of a jersey number in the program. But actually having a name and what happened, I hope that the people listening to this podcast will go and research a little bit about what Chase did and his post career in the military and you know how he gave his life. I read somewhere during the game, this is kind of like if you go to, you're giving me a secret tour of the game, if you will. There's like these nuances within the game, and I read that somewhere with the fallen from years past, that you guys put jerseys on the benches.
Yes. So that's something that at the West Point Stadium there, Mikey Stadium at the Military Academy in New York, we have a chair that sits in the stadium and it's got a placard on it that essentially states that this chair is here to remember all those that have come before us and they will come after us and that have gone to war and have not come home. And again, it comes back to the men like Chase. It's remembering that when you're playing a game, that up there in those stands, there's the spirits of the brothers that played before you and the people that have been in the same trenches that you have been and have been fighting on the fields of family strife, but that never had the opportunity to come home and go to Lincoln Financial Field or another field or stadium that we'll be playing at and to watch you. But we remember that spirit and we carry it on. And it's important, I think, and it's not just about the players. It's about anyone that's there in those stands that get to sit around a seat like that. You know, that it really shows that respect that we have, that those comrades are never forgotten, never forgotten. And that no matter what happens, they will always be a part of the team and the brotherhood. And so, you know, those are little nuances that you might read about that you think, well, that's cool, but there's more meaning to it than just a chair there to show respect. I mean, it really is like, it's in spirit. These are our brothers, and they've lived and done what we have done, and they paid the ultimate sacrifice for it, and it's pretty incredible.
Now, at the game, what are some other things? Obviously, for the 4 years you were playing, you were, you know, busy smashing heads and you know, having running backs having a clear path. You were, you know, sort of the door breacher for the running back. But what are some things and sights and sounds that you can hear on game day?
No. So obviously, some of the cool things are the march on, you know, the march on of the cadets prior to the game. And that's always a fun thing to be a part of or to watch as an outsider, is because it's kind of this internal battle on game day of which Corps of Cadets going to march the best. And of course, West Point always wins. We got the best marchers. We actually know how to do drill and ceremony. And so that's always one of the first things, is the march out onto the stadium for the Corps of Cadets to show what they've got in their military bearing. And so that's kind of a fun part to be a part of, is just that almost non-football rivalry that's already taking place prior to the game of who's better than you at marching and drill and ceremony. So that's kind of a cool part of it. And then obviously, you know, flying in the game ball in a helicopter and jumping in and landing into the stadium with the game ball is something that many other teams around the country never get the opportunity to see or experience, but that's something unique to what we do in the military academies. And then you've got the flyover in the game. So you've got Apaches and you've got F-16s and you've got naval fighter jets flying over the stadium, and I mean at low altitude, so you can almost feel them as they rumble by, and you realize like, wow, the power and the might of our military, and these are the young men and women that are going to go fight for. And there's so many emotions that get round up prior to the game actually starting, and then up on the big screen of the stadium, we have these things called spirit videos, and each academy does it. And they're basically these videos that, you know, make fun of the other team and why you're better than them and go Army, beat Navy, and people from around the world submit them. And so prior leading up to the game, between plays at halftime, that kind of stuff is playing on the big screen, and cadets are getting into it because they have, you know, contributed to making those videos, and it's the spirit of the rivalry and we're better than you. And sure, maybe you won this many games, but guess what? We can win more wars than you. I mean, just so much internal stuff going on that it brings just the hype up that much more and that much more, and gets you excited. Like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what's about to go down, because there's, I mean, for instance, this year, spirit video, the first captain of West Point called out that, I don't even know what they call them over there at the middies, but the first captain. So the first captain of West Point's like the leading cadet at school. And he called out the quote unquote first captain there in the Naval Academy. And it was like, whether we win or lose this football game, in the Army, we're tougher than you. So I challenge you to a boxing match. And whether we win or lose, you come here or you tell me to go there, but I guarantee I'll whoop you in the boxing ring. I mean, those are the kind of things that it comes down to for an Army-Navy game. And it gets real, and it's intense, and it's passionate, and it's something so fun and incredible to be a part of.
And so on the field, I mean, what kind of trash talking, if there is any? I mean, Bryson, you're a pretty big guy. I would hate to be in the way of a downhill block. I mean, did you talk some trash on the field?
You know what's funny, thinking back of the years at school and as much trash talk as actually happened on the field, I almost wonder if I didn't talk as much trash in the Army-Navy game, because it was more of, I'm going to talk trash with my hits. I remember a few seasons playing and won the big hit of the game for the Army-Navy game, and it was our lead wedge man I was playing at the time for kickoff return, and pancaked and smashed one of the Navy players down onto the field. And I remember at the time, I was on their sidelines lining up for kickoff return, and their players were like, we're going to get you. You guys are going to get smashed. And I just kept very quiet. I knew that I weighed 270 pounds and could, you know, bench press 430 pounds. And I had no problem smashing the guy on the other end that was running my direction. And so I just kept very quiet. And then, of course, when he came my way and I formed the wedge, just smashed him as hard as I could, pancaked him. His helmet went flying off. And what I loved is that his buddies that were talking trash to me on the sidelines went, oh, my gosh. Oh, he killed you. And I don't even remember what the guy's name was. And they started talking trash to their own player because I smashed him so hard. So I've been the kind of guy where I rarely talk it with my mouth. I'll just do it with my actions. But those were the ultimate payoffs when you just – smashed a middie's face into the grass on the football field.
Yeah, like I said, I would hate to be in the path of your way. And then if anything, I would want you on my team. So the excitement of the game, I mean, you're in the locker room. Is it like you can hear pin drops, or is there more, you know, gusto to it? Is there that, you know, that Al Pacino Any Given Sunday speech, or, you know, what is it like in the locker room?
Air handles things a little differently, but generally in the locker room, things get very amped up prior to a game. I mean, you're focused, you got to be focused. So there's the players that have the silent focus, very honed in on exactly what that assignment's going to be in the next 30 minutes before they hit the field, and what they have got to do, and what it's going to take to win the game. But at the same time, there's music playing. There's, you know, the players are jumping up and down and thinking, it's getting amped up, smacking each other in the head and hitting helmets together and smashing your thigh pads with your fist, make sure your body was pretty. It's like going into a fight, right? You know, if you're a boxer, you don't go in there with a baby face and get ready to take the first punch to the mouth. No, you got to smack yourself around a little bit. You got to get your body prepared for what's about to come. And so as a player, I think there's a real reality to just mentally jacking yourself up to get ready, because whether you're receiving or you're kicking, when that first play kicks off, it's real now. I mean, it is real body-to-body contact. There's going to be blood. There's going to be cuts. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be smashing. There's going to be spit and sweat flying. You know that that's reality. And there's only one way to prepare yourself: get amped up. Because you can't be a soft body and get ready to go to war. You can't go to battle with another man and just be like, oh, this is going to be a fun game today. No, you got to be ready to kill somebody. And that's the reality. So you got to just think about that. Just think about the amped upness. I mean, I'm getting amped up thinking about it right now. It's just like, let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready to get on the field. Let's
go. Those are the kind of things.
Let's go play some
pickup. Like, you're feeling it in the locker room.
Yeah, I'm ready to go, Bryson. Let's go. Like, let's go find a park. Go play some football. So the excitement, you know, the game concludes, and there's all. We'll get to the traditions at the end of the game, but also. The football aspect of it kind of prepares you for military life, because if everybody does their assignment, whether on offense or defense, that's going to be a successful play, whether it's a touchdown or interception or turnover or what have you. Was there a lot of things that you learned from football that you applied to your leadership skills?
100%. Just absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the one thing that I think any Army football player can say, especially once they've entered the military, that it was the days that were spent on the football field and during spring practice and summer training that prepared you the most for your military career. Because you made a statement that when everyone does their assignment correctly, the outcome should be a positive, correct? There should be a win if everyone does their assignment. But what you realize in life, and when reality hits outside of football, when you actually get in the Army, is that things are not easy. And that whether everyone does their assignment or not, there's going to be times where you are going to be challenged, you are going to be stressed, you are going to be in pain, you're not going to want to continue, but you're going to have to push through that fourth quarter and until the end. And it was my time on the football field that prepared me to deal with the most difficult situations in my personal life, my professional life, my military life after football was over. It was that perseverance, and it was that ability to rebound, that resiliency were the things that I learned on the football field. It was when you get smacked in the mouth and you're down, by God, you better get back up and freaking fight. And when you feel sorry for yourself, guess what? There's way more people in battle zones in this country and around the world that've got way more problems than you have. So quit feeling sorry for yourself, pick yourself up and go run the next play. And it's those kind of things that are instilled in you as an Army football player, and that not just instilled in you, but you live through. I mean, you live through the crap. And so when you get to the real world, as we will call it, whether that's military or civilian life, it's like you've kind of been forged through some of the fire already. I mean, you know how to deal with adversity. You know how to overcome challenges, but you also know how to be a team member, and you know how to be a brother, and you know how to fight to the end and give it your 110% effort. And so that, you know, all those things just encompass it.
Yeah. That's great to know that there was a lot of relevance to the football to military life. I got to ask, it seems like the common thing, you know, if you're doing field training or you're out in the field, you got some downtime, is the guys pick up the pigskin. Were you first pick? Like, they were like, oh, he played for Army. He's definitely our first pick.
Yeah, there's probably no question about that. I mean, if you saw me today, I'm maybe not quite as muscular, but I'm not much smaller than when I played in college football. So yeah, there's no question. It's like, oh, that guy played fullback for Army, or oh, that was a wide receiver for Army, or that was a slapback. Let's get those guys on our team first. So yeah, no question about it.
Yeah. So what is it like? Is it like go to the Humvee, make a post pattern, or take us to what unorganized but chaotic? We're gonna let some steam off football in the military is like.
Oh man, to be honest, there was a name for it in one of my units, and it was when I was in Oklahoma, and I don't even exactly remember the name of the game now that we're out of the military, but it was kind of funny because it was always this, it was like Wednesday sports time in the unit. And so we would bring out all the senior NCOs and the officers and get out there on the field. And it was always fun because there was always a handful, it seemed like, on every post and every unit, a handful of Army football players that were scattered about. And then there was like a mix of offense and defensive players that made it to that unit. And a lot of the senior NCOs, they would have watched us play when we were cadets and they were still in the Army. Many of them deployed when, overseas watching Army-Navy games. Come to find out the guy they were watching shows up to their unit. And while they've got a million times more experience than we do in the military, we've got a bunch more experience than they do at college football, and we put our great minds together. Like, oh, I want that guy on my team. And, hey, Captain Carl, you mind come playing fullback? And I've seen you play on your days at Army, and so it's kind of funny because a lot of the guys that you end up serving with, and that actually potentially serve under you as an officer, are the same guys that were watching you play on the field when they were deployed and whatnot, and they definitely want you to be a part of their team. And then we'll go out for Wednesday athletics, and everyone will pick, their defensive players and their offensive players, and pretty much just go at it. And it's kind of funny because you'll get a lot of players like, well, I didn't play for Army, but we kicked your butt today, so we could have beat your, we could have beat you when you played for Army or Navy the same way, vice versa. And then there'll be for like Thanksgiving time frame, we do like turkey bowls, and we'll do, typically on most bases, there's some joint service that takes place on that base. So there'll be some Marines, some Navy guys, some Air Force guys, some Army guys. So we'll do actual like bowl games prior to the Army-Navy game right after Thanksgiving. So all the Naval guys on post will sign up, and the Army guys on post will sign up, and we'll actually come do an Army-Navy game there at like the local football stadium on the military base. And in my personal time in 6 years in the military, Army beat Navy at every single one of those installation games that we played. So I think it translates that while maybe we haven't won all of them up until this year, because we are going to win this year, post-military, there's no uncertainty that Army rocks Navy when it comes to flag football in the real world. And, one thing I know about an Army football player, an Army soldier, any soldier that is in our group, is you're tough, man. I mean, you expect to win. You expect to be the best. And how do you do that? You train harder than anybody else. And that's what I love about, playing for Army. And then I think it goes back to that whole, why is the game bigger than just the cadets and the players? Why does it go beyond that? And I think it's because so many Army soldiers around the world, as well as players, like, we understand, like, in the Army, you go through crap. Like, you have to be forged in fire. You're going to have crappy days and hard times, right? But everyone just knows that you live that suck together, and that's what makes you closer. Like, that's that Army bond and that brotherhood and sisterhood. It's like, we've endured the worst together. There's nothing that we can't get through. And then it translates into that Army-Navy game. As a player, you look back, and past records don't matter. It doesn't matter how many times Navy may have won the game. Don't you dare think that means I'm not going to practice any harder or not think in my mind that I'm going to go out there and whoop their tail when I get out. That's just not the case. Like, any Army soldier, any West Point football player, you just know that you are going to outwork and you are going to work harder than any other person across from you on that football field or in life, in the military. I mean, that's just the way we're wired. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a tangent, but it just goes back to like why I'm proud to be an Army football player and proud to be a part of the Army family is because I know that I have served with some tough gals and girls. Like, I just really have. And I love to be a part of that. And it's like in the Army, like, I don't care what you do, whether you're on a ship or not, you know, what you're going to do in the Navy one day. Today, when I show up, I am here to kick your butt. And that's the attitude that we came to play with every single day.
Yeah, definitely. I love the passion and everything. I mean, you watch the game and you're like, man, that's give me some pads. Let's go. But, you know, I'm not very athletic, so I probably would be good as a coordinator of some sort. But, you know, finally, kind of to tie this all up, there's some things that you guys do during the week between the Navy and Army where they're sort of special ops kind of things to do pranks. What, you know, what kind of things did you guys do?
Oh man, let's see. I gotta think back a few years. It's been a while since we pulled any of those pranks. Oh man, I think I could be mistaken in this, and I don't want to admit to anything, but we may have taken a Navy goat at one point. I think a goat was painted at one point with Army colors. You also, as you walk around the barracks at West Point, there'll be like banners hanging from cadets' windows that have these fantastic hashtags of all these wonderful things of why Navy sucks. So that goes around school. And then you've got the boat burning prior to the send-off of the football team to head down for the game. And we literally have got an old boat, and we put it out onto a large field out on campus, and we stack it with pallets of wood, and we douse it in gasoline and write Navy all over it in every possible way we can, and we burn it on fire, and we cheer and celebrate and have a pep rally. I mean, and that's the buildup for the week. And a part of it is it's tradition. It's getting ready for the greatest game in America. It's allowing the cadets to be a part of what the football team does and to feel that camaraderie. Like, we're in it together. Like, the football team needs the cadets, you know, like, we need that cheering section. We need those fans. And that week is really meant to build that type of camaraderie between the team and the core, and to get everyone amped up so that when we show up, not only we got the best team, we got the best fans, we got the best cheering section, and everyone just is ready for that game.
Definitely, and the thing that sends chills down my spine, and I just think of this narrative, and it probably has happened, but it's just my own imagination, is that somewhere, maybe in a Humvee or an MRAP, somewhere in Afghanistan, Iraq, it's a dangerous place, and they're arguing about Army-Navy. There might be two guys, you know, and one's a SEAL, maybe one's another operator that's from the Army, and they're arguing back and forth, and they're breaking the levity of the you know, as you say, the suck of the situation, and you guys contributed to that. That's what I love about the Army-Navy game and what it stands for, is that it's a conversation piece, it's a competitive thing, but, you know, there's men and women that are deployed out that are in dangerous situations, but they'll talk smack in that dangerous situation about their service branch.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and I hear about it all the time, and you're absolutely right. It is something that extends so far beyond just like the continental United States. I mean, if you are a service member of any of the academies, but it's specifically Army or Navy, when this game comes around, it's like a rallying cry for like your camaraderie and your passion and love for your school, but it's also a rallying cry for a lot of fantastic trash talk and a lot of joking and messing around. And it's a rally cry to compete and to fight with someone in a way that's friendly, but that really does mean something at the end of the day. And so I agree with you. I mean, I think it's so fantastic. I mean, you know, quick example this week, you know, not being in the military anymore and being, you know, what we call a civilian, and I'm in the process of hiring a guy for a new position and going through some recruiters that work with military guys, and the recruiter that our company's currently working with just happened to go to Navy, and he wasn't a Navy football player, but he went to Navy. So he sent me an email this week and said, "Hey, Bryson, guess it's time that I start lobbing attacks across the email chain." And we went back and forth all week about, you know, just talking trash about Army and Navy. And him and I weren't classmates together. We didn't, our two teams that we were a part of at the same time, we never played each other. But it was that that fun rivalry that even though we're business partners and we're doing work together and we keep it completely professional, it was that love of the game and our schools and our alumni and who we're a part of that allowed us, even outside of the military or West Point or the Naval Academy, to have good, good common fun rivalry about it and to talk trash. And I love that part of it. That part about it is that it gets to go beyond so much than just when you're a cadet or in the Army. It lasts even when you're in the civilian world.
Well, Bryson, I hate to, I mean, we could probably talk all day, get fired up and go find some pickup football games, but you know, it's time to say a goodbye and farewell. So I want to thank you for coming on to the Valor Podcast and, you know, sharing a little bit about the tradition, the nuances, and even sharing a little bit about, you know, your former teammates that gave the ultimate sacrifice. And the game usually is the first or second Saturday of December, and so it happens to fall this weekend if you're listening to it after, you know, December 2016. It'll be somewhere around the 2017-18. You just got to look it up and find information on when it's going to happen. So thanks again, Bryson, for joining us.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. And go Army, beat Navy.
I was waiting for that. I, you know, with the intensity you had all day, I was waiting for that. So thanks for listening to the Valor Podcast. Make sure to like us on Facebook. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or any podcast management app. Visit our webpage at thevalorpodcast.com. That's thevalorpodcast.com. Finally, find your mission. There are many veteran organizations, nonprofits, and veterans needing your help. I promise you'll make some great friends. And if you stumble across an Army-Navy football player, ask him about it. And maybe you can hear about some good trash-talking stories and some good hits, and maybe even Bryson even took him out. So thanks again, and have a great week.